Apostle Paul spent so much time dealing with the Corinthians' inadequacies as a child of God, as a church member. 11 chapters. Thinking wrong, doing wrong, acting wrong. And the Apostle Paul, in each chapter, just helped them see that that should not be for a child of God. That's not what a child of God is commissioned, is empowered. That's not how or she is to live as a Christian. And we saw it over and over again. And if you don't look at the book of 1 Corinthians in its entirety, you can easily think an error or think that, hey, we've been talking about all of this stuff, Paul, and all of a sudden you go to the resurrection. And it's not even Easter yet, or it's already been Easter. We can easily think that there is no place for this wonderful chapter. And this is the most wonderful resurrection chapter in the entire Bible. We find so much wonderful comfort from these many verses. And he brings it to them at a time when he's hounded them pretty good. He's gotten on to them. This great sin in the church, this great discord among the church members, this great sin that's been in the church that's brought shame to the cause of Christ and to the testimony of this church. And then Paul turns that corner and he goes to those three wonderful chapters about how it should be. You and I should be touched by the Holy Spirit of God in such a way where we want to be a part of an effective, an understanding, a fulfilling, an edifying service that we give to others and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. He doesn't want us just to be saved and never do anything. And that thing is what the Holy Spirit sovereignly chooses for us to do in our lives. And then that chapter 13, which tells us that whatever we do should be good. What I do should be good for Mary. I should have a spirit of love in my heart. That should be good for Linda and Albert and Judy. And then in chapter 14, he says, whatever you do in love, make sure you as a church body does it in an effective way, in an effective way. Where people can walk through the back, up to the front, and sit down and understand it. That's the way church should be. And so we come to this great spirituality. 11 chapters on carnality. That's living in the flesh. That's having a carnal mindset. And then we come to these four chapters so far on spirituality. 12, 13, 14, and 15. Spirituality. Paul tells us that we can have the power of God in our life because of what Christ did on Resurrection Day. I can't imagine how the apostles must have felt when our Lord was put into that tomb. Defeated. They had been proponents of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and as the Son of God. And yet they have to witness him being put on that cross and humiliated and tortured and then placed into that grave. And they go back to their homes or they go back to wherever, whatever they're doing, defeated. Defeated. And then think of what must have happened in their minds when they found out that he had risen from the tomb. A new sense of life. A new sense of power. And what happened because of that? The Christian church was born. The record of Acts tells us that in one particular day, 5,000 people were added to the church. That's power. My friends, we serve the same God that they did. We serve the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as they did. So Paul, in his Holy Spirit-given wisdom, helps the Corinthians in chapter 15 to tie some things together. addresses the problem. And then chapter 15 kind of helps them to see why all of the addressments, all of the solutions are possible. It's because of the power that the child of God gets because it came from resurrection day. The morning Christ rose from the grave. Let's look and see what he says. By the way, thank you to Valerie and for Roy. I popped that on them this morning, and that's not easy to do when you're dealing with equipment that they've got up there. Yeah. So I appreciate that very, very much. I was going to do it the first part of the week, and then I talked myself out of it because it takes almost 5 minutes away from the lesson. And then this morning, I thought, I need to do that. That needs to be done. To help set the tone for what Paul says right here. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So let's remember, he was there one time before when the church was established, and apparently just by logic and understanding of how Paul worked in his ministry, that church must have matured to a point, it must have grown to a point where he felt the comfortness, the comfort to leave and establish other churches in Asia and all of that region right there. But he left and things went south. You know, that does happen in our lives, doesn't it? Things go south. That's what happened to these Corinthians. So he's reminding them, look, this I declare unto you is the same gospel which I preached unto you, which, by the way, you received. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to church members that are saved. And he says, it's the same gospel where you stand in right now. You believe this. Now you've had 11 chapters of detours and destructions in your life, but nothing has changed as far as the gospel goes. He says in verse 2, it's the same gospel by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He says, by which also you are saved. This is salvation. That our sins were subtracted from our being because of what Christ did for us. That is the gospel. And in essence, he doesn't phrase it this way, but I get the hint all throughout this chapter that he's telling them, you guys have forgotten this in your lives. You may know it up here in your head, but you don't live it. The gospel is possible. It's possible for a child of God to be effective in his or her Christian life because of the power that God displayed in raising his son from the grave. And he goes through chapter 15 and he tells them, someday you're going to rise too. And he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. And then that last phrase right there. It's kind of it's such a small phrase, but it's a big one. Unless you have believed in vain. When we went through the Gospel of John a long time ago, do you remember? I don't know how many instances that we saw this, but it was a lot. Verses and passages of Scripture which told us that Jesus said this principle over and over again. If you're one of mine, you're following me. If you're one of mine, you're continuing in my word. Now that automatically makes us think of, well, what about when we're not continuing just a youngster to many of you. I'm 59 years old, and there were times in my life I was not following the Lord. Going to church, saying the right things, doing the right things, because that's what we get good at in church. But I wasn't in the right place with my heart. So what about those times? I always have taken great comfort from one thing that I heard. And I believe it was probably one of the first services that we were at here at the Bible Baptist Church 24 years ago or so, however long it's been. And it was Brother Chris talking about a progression. And you've heard me say this many, many, many times, because it has impacted my thinking. And so when I think about this topic of falling away in a Christian life, I go back to this. Brother Chris was talking about in our Christian life, we don't just take a progression of forward steps, do we? We don't just keep going forward. The reality of the Christian life is, and we should go forward. The reality of the Christian life is, we're going forward, and then we stop and slip backwards. And then our guilt comes in, and God's Spirit starts talking to us, and we get back in the right mode of thinking, and we start going this way. And then an old thing happens in our head, something that we thought was gone, and we start slipping back this way. Now here's a reality and a comfort in this, okay? The reality is, this is going to happen until we're put in the grave. There's no perfect person that's always going to be able to go forward. If he were saying this, he said, he would say, I'm about as close as you can get.
Yeah.
Because he always adds humor to these things. None of us are there. And so what a good way for us to think about in this topic is this right here. Look back at your Christian life. Is there Some of it can be explained by the fact that the demons believe the facts of the gospel, but they have no love for God. They have no love for His Word. They have no desire to be touched by what God's Word can do. So there's no mistake in Paul talking about this this way. So these first four verses, they'll take the majority of this lesson, because I'm going to go slow through them. And this is so, maybe you can get this all at once, but I gotta sneak my way through this, okay? It's some good stuff. Verse number one again, let's tie it together to where we've, to the point where we've gotten up to. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, and unless you have believed in vain. And he says, for I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now Paul is simply saying, look, all these things that I've preached to you and that I brought to you years ago, and what I'm bringing to you now because your church is in such a mess, I got that from God. That's what he's saying. I received that from the Holy Spirit. Now, do you remember when that happened? He wasn't called Paul at that time. He was called Saul. And he persecuted the church, the Bible says, daily. He was an enemy of God's church. And one day, at some point after he oversaw the death of Stephen, one day he was on that road to Damascus, way out there in the Arabian desert, and God paid him a visit. God paid him a visit, and I want to read to you just a few verses from that experience in Acts chapter 9. The Bible says, Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Almost seems like he didn't have to ask the question.
Yeah.
He already knew who it was. Now mind you, Christ had been killed. He had been tortured and crucified on that cross. And yet when Paul, or rather Saul, saw this manifestation of Jesus Christ, he must have known at that very minute, it was, I believe it was probably an immediate thought in his head, I saw him die, and yet he's alive. And it moved him. Now, I will admit, just like you will admit, I don't see those visions. Well, maybe when I eat a lot of Cool Ranch Doritos and Dr. Pepper late at night, I have visions during the night, but I don't see that. I don't see that. And what Paul saw moved him. And he's telling these Corinthians, hey, listen, I received this. I didn't make this up. And it didn't stop on that road to Damascus either. The Bible says he was taken up into the third heaven and was given sight of things unseen, and they were so great that he would not be able to come back to the earth and be able to describe them. You see, he's a disciple. He's an apostle. He's not part of the 12, and he tells us that in just a minute. He wasn't part of that original group, but God gave him this. He wants to make sure they remember what this is. And it's almost as if he's saying, you've fouled up so much in this church since I left. Let's go back to the basics. How can you live as a child of God in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? How can you stay out of court suing each other for your little petty wants and needs when things should be handled in God's Word? How can you not get rid of the sexual immorality in your church? It's God's church. It should be handled right when it happens. How can you not agree on anything as God's family? Well, you're not functioning. You're not working in the power of the does that from time to time. Made a statement that, you know, one of the sad organized church, and we both believe, and Brother Chris and all of you, as we saw in the past couple of, in fact, chapter 14, we believe that things in God's house should be done decently and in order. In fact, His word again, decently and in order. But when you, in this day and age, when we have screens and things have to be prepared beforehand, and you got to make, you know, get everything coordinated with musicians and electronically and all that, he said, you know, it's real easy to get into that mode where we're not really waiting for the Spirit of God to move us. We're waiting for this screen to start. It's real easy in today's church to not ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit, but just to kind of forget that it happens. And Paul says, look, I was given this from the Holy Spirit out there on that road in Damascus. And he says, I received it, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. They had the Old Testament Scriptures. And I can just imagine, as Paul traveled, I would say, he doesn't tell us this, I would imagine that he had an old copy. Wouldn't you, Brother Stacy, as Paul traveled, he had to have a copy of the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. And as he would go into these towns and do a work to start this church in these towns, he would come across these very proud Jews. These very proud Jews who would take Paul to task in everything that he said. And I can just imagine when he would say, hey, look, Christ died and was raised again on the third day. He didn't stay in the tomb. And some old codger would say, oh, that's not in the Bible. And Paul has to get his parchment out. And he says, well, let me show you. Let me show you back in Genesis how it's in the Word of God. It's typified and symbolized all throughout the Old Testament what was going to happen. It's according to the Scriptures, and he says in verse 4, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, it's Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, in whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, or were passed away, they're dead now. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also a couple of times. Me as one born out of due time. And he's just saying, look, I didn't ask for this, but God has chosen me to be an apostle, and I didn't get it like the other 12. My case is sort of different. And a beautiful verse. Verse number 10. If you don't remember anything I've said today, remember this first phrase. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul's saying, look, I've been picked out. I'm,